I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to Hardcore Listing Podcast. I'm Stu Whiffin. I'm the better half of your hosting team. Chris Glasson is currently on remand and isn't available to record this intro. His brief has assured me that he should be out in time for a live show in July, Attack of the Podcast at the O2 Islington Academy with Overrated Everything, featuring Thomas Turgoose and Andy Ellis, Sean and Gadge from This Is England, as well as Life in the Stocks with Matt Stocks, with special guest Pancho from Dirty Sanchez. Also, Chris and I will be doing a live Hardcore Listing podcast on stage with three guests. One of those guests is Grammy award-winning producer and frontman of rock band A, Jason Perry. Jason's been a guest on the Off the Beaten Track podcast of mine, and he's yet to do Hardcore Listing, so we thought we would hold off until he could come and do it live. And you're going to love Jason and his stories. All right, anyway, today's episode, top five things you can never unsee. So that could be something really horrific you've seen, something that gives you immense joy that you like to constantly reference. Very much the case for my number one. And it was a lot of fun. Glasson got a day release on tag to come round and record that. It was awkward. He had tag and he was obviously handcuffed to a police officer, and they took him straight back to prison after recording. But yeah, enjoy this episode. Thanks massively to Her Majesty's Pleasure for letting Chris out on day release. Thanks to our producer 76. Thanks to our sponsors Love Beer and Bang Boom Creative. Can't wait to get those pair of helmets back on again to do some episodes soon. I think that's it. Thanks to Scroobius Pippikins and everybody over at the Distraction Pieces Network. If you like Hardcore Listing and you like Christopher and I talking utter toss each week, and the back catalogue has not quenched your thirst for utter bullshit, then why not go and check out our Patreon page? Because each week we release another hour-long episode of Complete Drivel, which for some reason a few people have professed to actually liking. If you are that much of a loser and you feel inclined to listen to us talk incessant claptrap some more, go over to patreon.com, that's patreon.com/hardcore listing, and go and watch the video over there. Pip's in it, Gal Porter's in it, Chris and I are in a hot tub in it. Go and have a little watch of that, and it'll tell you all about the Patreon stuff. Right, you've probably heard way too much of my lispy voice on this intro. Tough shit, you've got another hour of me and that other idiot talking now. But thanks for listening, and we will see you on the other side. Love you lots, you dangerous loners. It's a drunken soiree in the within. Chris and Stu present Hardcore Listing, the podcast. Hello and welcome to Hardcore Listing. Producer It's a Sunday morning.
It is a Sunday morning. Sundays are fun days.
And it's a sunny Sunday.
It is.
And it smells of your arsehole in here.
It does. I've just dropped a nice, fresh, springtime fart.
Yeah.
Within.
Yeah.
And it's within, isn't it?
It is.
I've cut the cheese.
Nice one. Nice one.
I have cut the cheese there, haven't I?
Yeah.
It smells like that.
Good weekend.
Sure. Yeah, good, mate. I mean, it's a Sunday. Look at you, cheeky smiles. We had a little chat about what our prospective weekends were, didn't we? And yours involved escaping. You did an escape room.
Done an escape room, yeah, at the XL.
Yeah.
Which is hosted by our friends, Holly and her husband, who come to We Are Lizards. And it was Holly and him that set us up to do the zombie apocalypse event.
Yeah,
you can hear that episode, which is... Top five zombie films.
Yeah.
Top five zombies by Scroobius Pip,
yep.
Chris Glasson and Carol Whiffin.
Mm-hmm.
And top five that I thought might be zombies.
Things that Stu had seen with his eyes.
Which is interesting.
Okay.
Tenuous link. Today's top five is top five things you can never unsee.
Oh, yeah. That's interesting, isn't it, that?
Yeah, and I come up with that one.
Yeah, well done.
And I don't know if it's... Your instant response on the phone made me laugh. And is that actually in your top
yeah,
five?
Yeah, I'll put it as a number five.
Right. Yeah, so, okay.
It's a funny, you know. It's not like... I don't suppose it...
Well, no, it's bullying, but...
It's straight bullying. I've been bullying myself a lot on Instagram this week, haven't I?
Yeah.
All I keep doing is posting up muggy pictures of me.
What's quite weird is I never put up... Do I put up ridiculous pictures? Oh, no, do you know what I did? I actually put that one up on Facebook this week of me in the lederhosen wearing the shorts that I bought from a woman's shop.
Oh, yeah, brilliant.
I tried to find the smallest shorts I could find to extenuate. You could literally see the veins in my balls through the taut material.
That is fucking sexy, mate.
Thanks.
You've worn a few numbers in your time, haven't you?
Cheers, ma'am.
At your wedding, predominantly.
Yep. That's something that I'm sure will be in my top five things my wife would never unsee. Would be my haircut suit combo
Carol.
At the wedding.
Poor Carol.
Just a note to listeners, don't ever try and be fashionable at your wedding. Opt for style. I opted for current fashion. Bad move.
Oh,
move. Should have just gone style.
Stylish, yeah.
Timeless. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nah.
Oh, well. She's still with
you. Do you want me to put your sandwich in the fridge?
Yeah, go on. I've got like half a boiled egg sandwich. It's a fancy one, actually, isn't it?
It's very posh.
But Stu took a picture of it because straight away I started... It was a posh sandwich. I think that might have been up nearly £3, that sandwich. Not in a meal deal. And then I went and bought some chipsticks, which were 39p.
Yeah.
And I just started stuffing the nice fancy sandwich full of chipsticks.
Patreon, that's where your money's going. High-end sandwiches, working-class crisps.
Microwaved coffee by my business partner. Thank you, mate. Lovely. Can I get you a coffee? Yeah, just going to warm this one up in the microwave. Is that all right? Okay.
Being like cool... I have a cafetière and I grind my own beans, and that's not a euphemism.
I bet you do.
So I made some fresh coffee, but it had gone a little bit cold, so I said, do you want this? And I'll warm it up for you. I could have just thrown you some fucking Nescafe in a cup. Mm. Thought I'd be nice.
Yeah.
And this is what I get. Yeah. What's the number five?
Right, so we're going to do top five things you can't unsee, right? And you wanted to know what my number five is. Yeah. It's your toes.
My big toes. Oh, no, all of them.
Well, predominantly a big toe, but I mean, like, they're in the toe family.
Weirdly.
At the end of your fucking... Oh, look at... That's disgusting, man.
It is weird.
Do you know what? So many blokes have got fucked up disgusting. When I did Tough Mudder the other day, we're getting changed.
Oh, is this going to be the new black belt?
When I did
is this
going to
be
the
new
day?
Fucking black belt? When I've done Tough Mudder.
Look at that. Look at this. Look how disgusting I am. No one can hear this at the moment. Because she's just fucking our patrons who paid $15 and they're all on subscribe.
There's your 15 quid's worth there.
Just the
Chris
moly,
with no top
gelatinous
on.
Wreck that I am at the moment. I really am a fucking mess. So yeah, Tough Mudder, I don't know where I'm going now, other than being a chauvinist.
Fucked up toes.
Fucked up toes. Your feet are disgusting.
Yeah,
like, I'm sorry. Yeah, at Tough Mudder, there was in the change room at the end, I'd had a really, like, tough round, because obviously You just saw the state of me. And then I had to face about five blokes in this change room, and all of their feet, they all had... You know that advert, when they're doing the advert for fungus infections under the toes?
Right.
It was disgusting. All of them were just like... I was like...
Yeah.
All fucked up. Is that what you've got under your picture?
No, I haven't got anything fungal-based wrong with my feet. What I've got is a broken toe that healed badly. And so when a lot of the time you break your toe...
Yeah.
I broke my big toe. I had it kicked and it nearly come off.
Oh,
And I pushed it back in because I thought I could. But I pushed it back in wrong. And it was sort of... It seemed to reset in the wrong position. So I then had to go to hospital. Yeah. And they put a sort of splint on it to the toe next to it. Which I think was a bad idea because my big toe now curls around the toe next
to it.
Yeah, it does. And then what happens is, with most time you get some sort of trauma...
Yeah.
To a toe, I guess, or a big toe. I don't know for sure. This isn't guesswork. The nail falls off.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. And then the nail that grew back through grew back in growing.
Wow.
So I had to have lots of trips to the... what are they called?
Chiropodist?
Chiropodist, that's the one. To try and sort it out, which they've done. But now... Half of my now is dead and half of it is alive. So one half of my big toenail I can literally pull away from the toe and the other half is...
That's fucking rank.
So that's why they're sort of like two colours.
It looks like a widescreen TV, doesn't it?
Yeah, all of my family do refer to my big toes as the plasmas because the now is unfeasibly large.
And like many of the plasma screens bought in the early 2000s, they're fucked now.
Yep, yep.
And you've got this skin tag now on the end of your foot as well.
Just knocked as well.
Oh, mate. He's got a bleeding, like, mole.
I could not.
Like, I can hardly talk. I'm like mole central. But that mole's fucking... Yeah. It's about eight moles on one.
Yeah.
Covered in tomato ketchup.
Sexy.
Yeah. So yeah. That was my number five, mate. I'm just going to check because I'm paranoid about recording the video camera.
Okay. I mean, I can see the red light he's on. So, is it all right?
It's not like one of yours and Carol's home movies, mate,
all right? Okay. So you had a good night last night?
Yeah, we can't talk about it.
Okay.
But you know what happened. Cool. But it was a good night. One day, folks, we might talk about what Craig got up to on this fateful evening. But, I can't talk about it. All I say is my left hand got very sticky.
I wish we could talk about it. It's solid gold, Craig, that.
It is, isn't it? Yeah, it's great.
Right, so my number five. It's a moment that I go to. Do you know what? I'm not going to go for that one.
No, having a little chat last minute, change your mind.
Yeah, I'm going to... That deserves to be further up.
Okay.
So I'm just going to go for Big Papa Jay. I booked Pineapple Dance Studios, Andrew Stone's band Starman to perform at our Matthew Horn Session Club for no other reason than I thought it would be ridiculous and I loved his Brentisms and lack of self-awareness. Andrew Stone, not Big Papa Jay.
Big
Papa Jay's lack of self-respect is pivotal to this thing that I will never unsee. And so Andrew Stone's Starman take to the stage at the peak of their E-list celebrity moment off the back of that Pineapple Dance Studios. Big Papa Jay had drawn a star over his eye as if he was a diehard fan.
What are they called?
Starman.
Stones owners.
Stones owners, yeah.
Stones owners, yeah.
So he was a Stones owner. Andrew turned up with a makeup artist and a masseuse. I mean, we're all in this sort of green room, which was about the size of the Whiffin.
Mate. We've never had anyone show up with a masseuse before.
Or a makeup artist. It was a tiny little live back room. It was hilarious. But yeah, it was an incredible thing to behold, and the comedy gold of it was amazing. So they're on stage playing five songs. I think they played the same song twice because their back catalogue wasn't that vast. And then he's then gone, okay, that's the last song, but was doing that thing where he's desperately hoping that people would make some noise.
No, more, come on, Andrew.
And there weren't a lot of that, and it was like, the spectacle was done. People had come, they'd laughed, and it was like, obviously, you know.
Everyone's sides had split fully all exactly. the way down.
At which point, I'm in the crowd, and I'm not name dropping here, but I was standing. I was standing next to Orlando.
Well, that's why his toes are so fucked up.
I was standing next to Orlando Weeks, the singer of the Maccabees, and because they used to come and frequent the club, and they're smashing lovely people, and so I was just standing next to Orlando, chatting, and then out of the corner of my eye, I've seen Big Papa Jay take to the stage. Now, Just was involved in the night, so security would never have stopped him from taking to the stage.
That's always a weird one, isn't it, when the security...
So all of a sudden, Big Papa Jay with eyeliner and big Diamante star over one eye has took to the stage, hugged Andrew Stone. Andrew Stone looked confused. He's then took the mic from Andrew Stone and gone, listen, ladies and gentlemen. No, I think he said, listen, you cunts. I've just spoke to Andrew. And ladies, if you make enough noise, he has then said, after he's done his encore, he will come into the crowd and lick you all out. At which point, Orlando went to me, is that your business partner? And I went, nah. And he then just stood there. Wyatt Starman then played probably the same song yet again. And just was just on stage dancing with Starman. Part of it seemed legit that he couldn't have been any more happy if he was on stage with U2. He looked genuinely fucking excited, / being a fucking irritating tit, which he's really good at. There is a video of that somewhere. I will find the picture.
The picture's great.
Of Just on stage dancing with... I think he's trying to sort of lean in and do sort of backing vocals as well. It's something to behold. So I will never unsee that moment where he said he would go into the crowd and lick out every woman that was in there.
Oh, that is fucking beautiful.
Mate. Yeah. Number
Thanks four. So much. What I want to say should be my number two, but there's a positive correlation between every time I have a sip of coffee and every time I do a little fart. So I apologise, but I've emptied it now, pretty much.
Your arsehole or the coffee?
Both. Which leads me on to number four.
Right.
G-O-A-T-S-I-E.
Goatsy.
Goatsy.
Do you know what? Do you know what? That's a fucking great shout. I was late to the game with a goatsy.
Me and Mark were front runners on the goatsy game.
When I say that, I mean... not seeing it, not performing.
Oh, we've got... Come on, you do your goatsy to the cabin. Oh, fuck a duck. I mean, like, if you haven't already typed into Google goatsy, don't do that at work.
By the way, Big Papa Jay introduced me to goatsy as well while we're talking about him. Yeah.
It's a special thing, isn't it?
I mean, it's... Have you looked at all the bits of architecture that use it now? Have you never seen it?
I haven't seen goatsy architecture. So, look, folks, if you don't know what it is, Google it. But Google it
if
not
you've got
in
kids,
your normal account.
If you're sitting around and the kids have sort of got access to your to what you're looking at on the laptop, don't.
Because I can tell you a story about another word that got me in loads of trouble on Christmas Day.
Please do.
But yeah, goatsy architecture. So basically, goatsy gang is when you're quite into getting your hands up your arsehole and pulling your arsehole apart, basically, so you can see right up your poop chute. Would you say that's a fair description of it, mate?
Yes.
Are you just strolling through your personal goatsy pictures?
No, I'm just trying to find goatsy architecture.
So there's one particular photo of goatsy that made it super popular, and I think it was like on some like some sort of like viral thing, probably like Reddit or something like that. Or oh my god,
there's lots of it.
And basically, there's just this one picture of a guy holding his arsehole open. You could probably push a pint glass up there, couldn't you?
And some.
Yeah. And It's disgusting. You'll never forget it. But it's also comically... Show the camera,
because there's no way I can really put this on the screen behind us today. That is just too disgusting. But,
mate, once you've seen Goatsy, I think you're, I think the universe almost flips upside down, because it's like, why is someone, why would someone want to rip?
Why would you do that?
Pull their arsehole apart that wide? Why would you do? How desensitised have you got?
Sure that 99.999% of our listeners definitely know what that is, because they're quite.
How many?
They're quite a walk.
How many have done it? Please say we've got one ghosty listener.
So to expose the contents of his arsehole, he's got. I say him.
I think it is a dude.
Is there some balls?
I think there's some balls.
Four fingers either side. Yeah.
But yeah, there's no teeth there. That would be terrifying. Yeah. I know why it's called Goatsy, however.
Oh, really? Why is that?
No, I don't know.
Oh, you don't? No. Write in, if you do.
You know, Goatsy, if you're listening, tweet in.
Yeah, that's something. A Goatsy should be called Unsee.
Unsee.
That's something you will never unsee.
No,
you
never unsee it.
That's such a great shirt.
But also, the thing is that it's a great, like, I've seen people doing Goatsy cakes.
Oh, yeah. Well, I just showed you a picture of a car.
A car that's...
honestly, that architecture that I showed you, there's a lot more of it.
Who's got the time to do a Goatsy car?
I can vividly remember sitting in my... That's how busy it was when I worked in an office with Big Papa Joe and his missus. They said, I was like, what? And they went, Goatsy. I was like, what's that? And they were like, Google it. And I was like, oh, my God. And then, like, I felt like I was really late to the party. That it's a party I want to be at.
No. It's one that you don't mind missing, really.
Because you could never unsee it.
No. Well, so basically, there's another. Do you know what a felcher is? Because, like, there's a word when all of a sudden, when you're a nasty little boy like me, you can't help but find out all these words, right? In terms, do you know what felching is?
Yeah, of course.
Right. So, yeah, of course. She's up. Well, I once said that. Me and Mark, we worked in a restaurant after uni briefly. And there was all the young waitress girls and stuff like that. And we'd always, like, tease them and be silly with them and stuff like that. Occasionally fuck them. And one day, one of these girls who was, like, her godmother was one of my mate's mums. Right, and we were all quite close. And one day, either me or Mark went, you silly felcher. And Laura went, what does felching mean? And me and Mark were like, Google it. Anyway, I get a message Christmas Day from her godmother, my mate's mum, fucking furious with me, going, Christopher, what are you doing telling Laura about these nasty things? And I was like, what? I mean, obviously, sorry, Auntie Jackie. I literally called her Auntie Jackie. And then I asked James, I text my mate, I went, what the fuck's going on over there, mate? He went, Laura brought it up Christmas Day, and they all went to the computer and looked up felching on Christmas Day. He's like, you've literally ruined Christmas around here.
They're never going to unsee that.
They're never going to unsee it, but they all started doing it straight after, so it brought the family together. You're number four, mate. It is your number four. Yeah.
I'm going to go for a couple of sporting things I can never unsee.
Oh, good shout.
So I'm going to rattle a few off because we've spoke about them, I'm sure, on sporting moments and things like that. Mm-hmm. Conor McGregor knocking out Jose Aldo.
Wow, yeah.
That was something I didn't necessarily think wouldn't happen, but I didn't think it would happen in the fashion that it happened so quickly. And I remember it was moments when I just literally was sitting watching it on my own and went, oh, my fucking God. Holly Holm beating Ronda Rousey.
Yeah.
Seeing that,
yeah.
I just can't ever unsee that kick.
That kick breaking her jaw.
Like, I guess seeing James Buster Douglas knock out Mike Tyson, which was something I didn't think I'd ever see. And then it's the moment of Tyson on all fours trying to put his gun shield. trying to put his gum shield back in, and that's the photo that is the thing that I can't ever unsee. Whenever I see Mike Tyson, and you know, for better or for worse, you know, I'm not saying he's a perfect human being, but in regards to looking at him as a sportsman alone, I've got a lot of time and interest in him. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, that moment, whenever I see him talking about fights and things like that, I just think at some point they're going to show that clip.
Yeah.
And it's that picture that I can never unsee whenever I see Mike Tyson.
Brilliant. Well, there's a few others there I'd like to throw in on this. Yeah. Good shout for Spooks. Anderson Silva jabbing... one punch jab knockout of who was it? Forrest Griffin.
Forrest, yeah.
That was insane. That's possibly my favourite knockout of all time. It is Matrix shit. That.
And when I first thought of this, the first thing I thought was the Chris Weidman leg break.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. That was fucking awful. Because the weird thing is, we've seen it before. We've seen it in kickboxing before, so it wasn't new.
Yeah.
I've seen that injury happen before, but
you've not seen last night's UFC either, have you?
No. Who was fighting?
Rose Namajunas, Jose Aldo, Anderson Silva, BJ Penn versus Clay Guida.
Fuck! I might try and watch it tonight. I bet I don't get it.
But the Anderson Silva fight.
It's really good, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, mate.
Something to be seen there.
Oh, dude, all right, okay. Also, the other... One thing I can never unhear... So if you're doing sports, I might make this my third as well. It's unseen and unhear in this way, is MVP's flying knee into fucking Cyborg's
head. You ain't seen Bellator last night either, have you?
No. Because he's fighting in that. He fought in that as well, didn't he? Oh, shit. So I've got a lot of good stuff to get. You look serious. This is exciting.
Mate.
Molly's in for a treat tonight. Sorry, love. Turn songs of praise off.
Yeah, that noise resonated around that building.
Yeah, it did. We were in a busy stadium.
It's in the O2.
Exact. And we were like five rows back. I can't keep up. We weren't super close, though, was we? But we weren't miles away. And...
Seen that clip, it's a sort of flying knee to the front of his skull, and it went viral because there was the x-rays of his dented forehead and smashed skull. And to hear that, you heard it, didn't you?
Yeah. Right. To hear that, you heard it, folks. Podcasting, we are articulate whizzes here, aren't we?
You had to
hear it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what that meant.
Hear that, you had to hear it. Hardcore listening.
Hardcore listening. To hear it, you've heard it. Great chat.
Yeah, it was brutal. But it's such a good chat with regards to all the different fights and stuff like that, man.
Brilliant.
So would you say Buster Douglas would be your one out of all of those?
If boxing or combat sports, yes. But and I've mentioned a million times before, Michael Thomas scoring the goal in the last minute of extra time to win Arsenal the league is something that I will never, ever be able to unsee or hear the words, it's up for grabs now.
Yeah.
It just brings me joy. And I'm not a football fan.
No, you're not.
But it brings me a lot of joy watching that. Because it takes me back.
Not a football fan, but you are both racist and homophobic. So you really should reconsider, mate.
Is that the criteria for to be a football fan?
Yeah, I've upset everyone who watches football now.
Yeah.
Out of our fan base. It's not that. I'm just not cool enough
for
football.
Are you scared of it?
A little bit. I wasn't very good at football.
Yeah.
I wasn't. I was scared of getting kicked in the shins. Did karate and kickboxing.
How did you go?
I was scared of what I cried.
Yeah.
I got up to black belt in the end.
Wow.
Yeah, got up there pretty quickly.
Are they sexist and racist, people who do karate?
Sexy and racy.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
See what you've done there.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
So I've snuck in my number three there.
Okay.
With the MVP head caving in.
Yeah.
Scenario.
So, for my three, obviously there's things that I feel I should give a nod to. I'm trying to make this as ridiculous as possible.
Yeah,
but
of course.
Obviously, the birth of my children and things like that are things.
Gross,
that
you're... Yeah. Yeah. Seeing your wife split from ear to fucking arsehole.
And I thought I'd say that because I knew that's the response I'd get as well. But yeah, things like that are a given, right?
Yeah, of course.
So,
Is that quite... Is it a bit weird? Is it a bit trippy seeing all that happen?
Of course it is, man. It's fucking mental. The thing that I remember before that was... The piss on a stick thing, the pregnancy test.
Okay, right.
And
then 9 months just flew past, was a dream, it wasn't the problem.
No, do you know what? It was the moment when, because I was just about to leave to go to work at the Brush on a Friday night.
Yeah.
And the test was done, and it was positive.
Yeah.
And I just remember this instant feeling of like, you better fucking grow up, boy.
Yeah.
Shit's getting real.
Yeah.
And like, and I do remember thinking, whoa, yeah, like, I've got to be a grown up
now.
Step
up, yeah. Yeah. Wow.
It'll happen one day. Yeah, so.
Not in that shit.
For my three.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for a wall. Now,
I think we've just lost all of our subscribers.
When I was about 18, 19,
yeah.
Firstly, I should say, go online and buy iKunt, I-K-U-N-T, the story of Cunt and the Gang, because it's one of the funniest books you will ever read, or download the audio and listen to it, because you will be laughing like a maniac on the train with your headphones on, because it's brilliant. And he's one of my best pals, and I've known him since I was a little kid, and he has said that he will come and do the podcast now.
Oh, cracking, really? That's great.
And so we used to do lots of dumb shit, like 18, 19-year-olds do when they think they're a bit different and a bit funny.
Soggy biscuit.
All of that. Goatsies and
soggy goatsy.
But we decided one night after going out in central London to the gas club, it was on the way home, one of our friends, I'm not going to start naming names now, but in that car somebody had always liked to keep a couple of cans of black spray paint for kind of guerrilla art.
Yeah.
We could call it that. We could call it that. It was kind of pre-Banksy.
Sounds a lot like vandalism to me.
It's just vandalism. But there was a huge building that was knocked down, and it was on a very, very busy road. And before they'd started building the building that was going to replace it, they normally, as you see on any building site, put massive wooden fences of plywood all the way around it. So I reckon this wall or fence that was painted with white emulsion, I reckon was probably 50 metres long. That's a big white space. So we decided, these people decided to stop the car at 3 a.m. and then these people got out and decided with the cans of spray to spray something amusing on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
So these people sprayed the name of their band in the middle of it and then sprayed the word cunt, C-U-N-T, 100 times along the whole of that wall. Which these people thought was really funny.
Yeah.
The next morning, these people had to go to college, and one of these people that looked a lot like me decided to drive past and just have a quick look.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
I will never unsee what I saw that day because I had a pang of fear. This person had a pang of fear in his stomach that someone might have pushed it too far. Whilst panicking, I look to my left and there's a bus stop opposite it. Sitting in that bus stop was this person's oldest friend with a video camera filming elderly people's responses walking past that wall. If you want to see what that wall looks like, there's a picture in Cunt's book. So I would suggest that you go and buy it and find out about a multitude of guerrilla art things he's done that also include... I'm going to mention this one because it ties in with another one left on my list, which is when Jamiroquai first come out, the branding on all the billboards was just... Jamiroquai was Emergency on Planet Earth, the first album.
His first one,
and just this little black silhouette of J.K. with his hat with the horns on. Yeah. Them horns were accentuated into a massive cock and balls. And underneath Jamiroquai, it said, he's a retro cunt in massive letters on a big billboard. That was just a little bit of it. I've also showed you the Harold Shipman one.
Yeah.
And there's plenty more. But yeah, they're all discussed in that book.
I've got to get myself that book, I think.
Yeah, it'll make you laugh. It's like every single listener, I'm sure, feels like them and their mates when they're 18 were the funniest, stupidest people about.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's just something, when you read that, you'll go back and think, yeah, we was. That was fucking brilliant. We all done dumb shit like that, and it was really funny. So, yeah, the cunt wall is my number three.
That's a beautiful thing, mate. It's a beautiful thing.
It really weren't. It was fucking offensive.
We used to do things like...
And by the way, the 46-year-old me would now drive past that and be like, that's fucking disgusting.
I know. And I think you just got to accept that you're finding your feet as a kid and you're doing things that are often wrong.
Yeah.
But then it makes you an adult. But you've got to be a bit... You've got to give kids a break because I've done some shit I literally can't talk about on podcasts, which is so fucking shameful.
Yeah. Hashtag goatee.
And I look back and I think, my God, if I caught me doing that, if I caught anyone doing that, I'd give them a whipping.
Yeah.
I would. And suck their tiny childhood dicks. Like it was good. So, my number two.
Yeah.
We haven't said anything about movies yet.
Good point.
And, oh my fucking God.
Ice White Shot?
Martyrs. Close. Martyrs. I hated horror films as a kid. I remember one of the first things I saw horrifically was, it was like a scene out of Hellraiser 3 when I was in Spain with my mum and dad. And we'd got home late and mum and dad had been drinking. We got back to the apartment. Oh, God, I forgot this story. Get back to the apartment one night, right? And mum turns the TV on and I'm sat right, I'm that far away from the TV, right? The TV's literally 2 foot away. Big TV in this apartment in Spain. And it's just... This is happening. It's up close. I'm quite young, so I haven't seen a lot of pornography, if anything. And at first, I'm like that. And then I'm like, oh, no, that is a close-up of a cock destroying a girl's rat. It was like just pounding in and out. And I was like, oh, wow. And as I'm 14, I'm thinking, well, I'm just going to get as much of an eyeful of this as I can. I think mum had it on the TV for about a minute. She was like, what is that? I was like, oh, my God, mum hasn't figured it out yet. And yeah, it was just like some woman getting straight pile driver by a dude. Anyway,
That was in the wank bank for a while.
Yeah, it was. I was like, I've got off to bed now.
No, don't wake me up in the morning. I'm going to have a day in bed.
Which would have been fine, except for the next channel she switched to was Hellraiser 3, where someone's skin was getting sucked off. And I was kind of like, whoa. Well, I didn't even see that bit. It was a bit, this big statue was firing chains into someone and ripping them apart, basically. And I didn't respond very well to that. And I remember being up for the rest of the night, not masturbating, unfortunately, but talking to my dad about why people make horror movies. Anyway, fast forward to when I'm about 19, all of a sudden horror films make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
And me and Mark, when we bought our flat at 25, by that point, we had watched as many horror films as humanly possible. And I remember one day we'd gone to Blockbuster. This is back when Blockbuster was a thing. And there on the shelf was one called Martyrs. And we hadn't seen it yet. It was a French one. And we'd got into watching a lot of the French horror films, which are quite video nasty. The French know how to do quite a raw horror film. And I don't know if anyone's seen Martyrs. I think I've mentioned it on some of the podcasts before. But one of the final closing scenes in that is a torture scene. And it is just bad. It's so awful that that blew my horror fuse. After that, I was kind of like, I still love horror now, but I don't really want to see the super graphic visual stuff, because that fucked me up for, I'd say, 9 months. For 9 months, I remember I'd
specific.
Be like...
Specific.
It's roughly that, because I remember being at work and I used to go running at lunch, and I'd be on the treadmill at lunch, and this image would come back into my head of this horror film, you know, just wander its way in there, and then I'd feel nauseous and I'd have to get off the treadmill. It was that graphic. It had that much impact. And I found out that's called emotional scarring in movies. And movies these days are so... You can do them so well. There's no real difference between what you're looking at and how that would look in real life. And yeah, so it emotionally scarred me for fucking about 9 months. I don't feel nauseous now. It's mostly because I've had to suppress it so much, that how strong an imagery it was. But there's loads of movies like that. You could even say, I remember the first thing that scared the... Like, one of the first things that scared life out of me was Ghostbusters, seeing the ghost in the downstairs in the library. Yeah. But yeah, there's a lot of things in horror movies and movies where you're just like, oh, you know, the melting guy in Raiders of the Lost Ark and all that when you were a kid.
Yeah.
You got any? Any special mentions?
See, you know that my wife loves a horror film.
Yeah.
So I watch a lot of horror films, and I'm not a tough guy, but it just doesn't scare me. I can't involve myself to the level that you can. Throw yourselves into it. I'm just too fundamentally bitter and unhappy and twisted and cynical. But the one scene that I will never watch in a film ever again is the scene in
Showgirls,
in the jacuzzi with Kyle MacLachlan and Elizabeth. Oh no, I could watch that. I mean, there's your 15 quid's worth Patreons there. It's in Scum, and it's the scene when the young lad takes his own life.
Oh, it's so hard. It's such a tough wank.
And that done me. What I've done, if I've mentioned this before, but I watched that when I had an upcoming court date where there was a chance that I might have to go to Her Majesty's pleasure.
You were afraid someone was going to use your arsehole as a cunt.
And I just thought, oh no, I will not be able to survive in there. that scene. Yeah. That film's not a nice film.
No, it isn't.
But that scene is really fucking unpleasant and scared me to my bones, because I watched it exactly the wrong time and it messed me up. And it's something now that every now and again I'll see that Scum's on. And I love a fucking horrible, gritty British film. That's my go-to genre. But that scene, can't.
Nah, do you know, I think I've only seen that scene once myself. Yeah. Right? And I had that on tape and stuff like that. That and ID and all those sort of ones of that ilk. And I watched that scene once and I was like, oof, I don't need to return
like
to that.
Films. Prison films.
It's hard. You've seen like Start Up.
Yeah.
I thought it was really good.
Do you know what? I really wanted that to be brilliant, because I think he's a cracking actor, that Jack O'Connell.
Jack O'Connell.
Yeah. Daniel O'Donnell.
I was going to literally say something like that.
Why did I not let you just get that out then? Oh, dear.
It could have been. Or it might have been Daniel O'Donnell.
Yeah.
I don't even know what was about to come out of my
mouth. It's a seminal prison film starring Irish folk singer Daniel O'Donnell. It's cracky. But that I think that's probably there was an episode of a black and white Tarzan episode or a film once where there's these I don't know if they're cannibals or natives of I can't think what the scene was, but they tie this person to two logs, then the logs fall apart either side and rips the person in half.
Yeah. Obviously, you don't see it.
No, not like you would suggestion. In Bone Tomahawk or anything like that. Oof, see, things like that are really fucking horrible.
Bone Tomahawk made my dick go funny. At a time when there wasn't any holes in my penis or anything like that. Yeah, which nearly made this list, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah. But yeah. All right, is it my number two?
I think it's your two, mate.
Right, let's have a look what we got. What we got. Right. Can I go for... I've got a couple of honourable mentions. Right, so I'm going to go for this. I had a friend called Stuart, and that's not me talking about
you
Chris
again.
Craig. I had a friend called Stuart.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the guy that I used to go and watch football with. He loved his football. And we ended up hanging around with this girl called Landis. And she had an older sister that we all fancied. who had really good taste in music. So we would go round to Landis's.
Double win.
And then what we'd do is one of us would say they were going home. And they'd go out.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd open the window and they wouldn't go home. They'd go and crash down outside the window, and then we'd all kind of be flicking for a record collection, pass them around, looking at them. Then we'd also slip them out in the window, nick a record.
Really?
It's really horrible.
Oh, you can't.
But then there's comeback on that. The comeback on that is that it was a lovely day, and we was all in our garden, and we was playing up.
Is that a euphemism?
No, it was like we was playing up, and Stuart started to kick a few of her flowers in like a kind of run-up penalty shootout, kind of circa in between us with the golf club.
Getcha.
Just being a fucking shit. We were probably about 14 then.
Yeah.
Maybe 15. And so he was taking a run-up and kicking these flowers. And then there was a little ornamental plastic tortoise sitting like pride of place on the edge of this pond.
Yeah.
Looking in, and it was like a nice shiny green plastic tortoise, and he took a massive run up, which he thought was going to be really funny, to boot it over and into next door's garden.
Oh, no, this is going.
I should point out sort of that we was walking around on the patio with no shoes on, just socks.
Oh, my.
So Stu's took this run up and kicked this plastic tortoise that happened to be a stone tortoise.
I was going to say, it weren't plastic, was it? Nothing around ponds is ever plastic. Yeah. It's normally old stone, yeah.
I reckon it went about 5 metres.
Oh, what?
But by the time it had landed, Stuart was probably alongside it, hopping, holding his foot, that he'd smashed every single toe to pieces.
Oh, Stuart.
Just seeing the justice in him being a little shitbag, kicking around her stuff, and then going for the piece of resistance, which was going to be, let's loof this tortoise over next doors, and it happened to be stone. Did you think I was going to say it was real?
No. I knew it was going to be stone, because my nan had a similar thing, where it was a crocodile.
Yeah. And like literally, I will never unsee or unhear the noise of his bones just smashing, and just the frenzied... Know when you see them videos on YouTube of people like skaters like snapping their legs or ankles, and they're like, get my mum! And it was that kind of, he didn't know what to say or do first.
Yeah.
Because it was just an immediate
clout
of pain, fear, and like not wanting to see exactly take your sock off and see what you've done.
Yeah.
And it all just culminated in this kind of bizarre hop up the garden screaming, which I will never ever unsee.
Oh, mate, that's brilliant. And also awful. Oh, I can feel that, man. I can't, like, there's no way that punishment matches the vandalism. Like, I can't, you know, you can't, like, the thought of him breaking.
I think it was a culmination of stealing the records as well. It was the justice, and it just happened to be Stu that had to pay the price.
That is rough justice. He paid it for all of you then and ow. Do you know what, when you're saying about doing these like petty vandalism, one night me and Mark got absolutely bladdered when we were at uni, and we decided to run along before we got to our university halls and pick up the black sacks that people put out in their front of it and just throw them back at their houses. Hardy ha, funny. I picked
black
up
bags, black bags.
Yeah, oh my God, how do you even... Why do you remember that before I do? Oh, that's great. I picked up this black bag and I threw it at this this house. And I threw it, and I didn't mean to throw it at the window, right? But it weren't double glazing this person's front living room window. His back sack just went straight through.
Oh.
And I remember just like Mark looking at me, and I was like, oh my fucking God. We've got to get the fuck out of here. And do you know what? It turns out a year later, we find out that it killed someone. A year later, me and Mark were working in a pub. And there was this really skanky, like, old alcoholic woman who come in. And she'd wear... This is something you can never unsee. Another honourable mention. She was, like, 55. Smoked all her life. Like, she just... And she was like... And she was sort of like an alcoholic. And a bit scabby. And she'd, like, make, like, these passive-aggressive come-on signs to all of us who were all 19.
You sound like you're very sympathetic towards her struggles.
Oh, mate, it was... Yeah, I know, it was gross. But she was really grimy. And I just remember her... Like, she'd wear sliders, back before sliders were a thing, with yellow socks. And she was just, like... She was grim. And just the thought of her, you'll never unsee her image. Anyway, it turned out it was her front window that
I fucked her on some bin bags.
Yeah, no, it's her front window accidentally smashed in. You know, obviously didn't mean to do that.
No, obviously, but also at night, probably a fool to have that change.
No, at 19, I weren't responsible enough to think, mate, do you know what I need to face up to? I need to go knock on the door and go, look, this got a bit out of hand, I'm really sorry. You know, obviously me and Mark ran away.
No, it's good that you're a, you know, responsible, consenting adult now.
Yeah, whenever I do that, I would knock.
Exactly. Have a good night last night.
Is it your number one?
It is. So, it's really interesting that we talk about justice, because the one thing that I will never unsee, which...
Oh, I haven't done my number one. Yeah, that was a special mention. I'll do my number one after.
All right. Cool. Yeah. So, my number one is something that I watch once or twice a month. If I feel low, I put it on. If I feel that there's injustice in the world, I put it on. And... Mm.
It's not a picture of me, is it?
And I can never unsee it. It's not that picture of you. I mean, that is something I will never be able to unsee. Yeah. Is Jamiroquai getting headbutted by a photographer?
Oh, good choice.
I mean, I pray that you've all seen this. If you haven't, I'll just go on YouTube and watch it, because it's the greatest thing ever.
Oh, yes.
You see that pint-sized prick picking on someone... With all the cocaine bravado and chip on his shoulder, out of control, ego, just terrible, terrible person, just picking on someone that he probably saw as the softest target there, with his security, and just keeps bullying him. And the guy's saying, I've done nothing wrong. And he just keeps bullying him. And then he's... in his face, and it's vile. His manner is vile. I think I would have probably chinned him about two minutes ahead of the brilliant strike.
Yeah, yeah.
But punching him wouldn't have worked, because what this guy does is just slams his forehead into Jake. I can't tell you how much I love talking about this.
It's a proper great Irish handshake, isn't it?
And it's just smashes his... forehead straight into JK's nose, splits his nose, and then instantly JK's, someone hold me back. No, seriously, please someone hold me back, because I can't fight my way out of a paper bag. My ego doesn't know how to deal with this, and this bloke doesn't give a shit.
No.
And he's just like, I'm not tolerating this abuse. And it's just brilliant seeing a fucking terrible fucking shit person.
It's such a shame, because you said about Jamiroquai's first record, Emergency Planet Earth, is amazing, and the lyrics to it are really like that record, and the second one, Return of Space Cab, I really love both of those records, and they had a lot of...
It's all about it's kind of environment, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now, how many sports cars has he got?
Yeah, he drives electric cars now. He's got a smart car, and he doesn't fly. He always canoes to America now. Fuck that
guy. He's got like 50 Ferraris. I mean, this is classic glass and guesswork here, but it's not it's not the wildest bit of guesswork I've ever done, is it? Do you know what I mean?
If he needs cars per square inch of ego, he's probably got 50 fucking... Yeah. Or square inch of him. He's probably got, like, 5. He's a fucking terrible person.
He's a mongrel. Yeah, it's a shame, man. It's a real shame. Because I really liked his music. And then you watch him and he's always on Top Gear and you just think, oh, long on, long off,
I think he started with the best of intentions, but I just think some people shouldn't get famous.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's easy to sit and say that it wouldn't do it to me. Jesus Christ.
You'd be a terrible person.
I'd be dead. Well, I'd be dead. Yeah. Firstly, I'd definitely be dead, wouldn't I? There's no... I would not have got to 38 if I was famous. There's just no way. I'd either been dead or they would have brought back the electric chair. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't even in the UK, but they would be petitioning
for it. You would have been doing all kinds of fucking weird shit. You would have been the next Michael Hutchins.
Oh, yeah. I'd have put him to shame, mate. my number one is... I don't know what one to do. One's the nice one and one's quite a sad one. What do you want?
Nice one.
All right, okay. it's when I was being a rad snowboarder. Oh, it's quite a quick one, this. I'm going to do the sad one, too. We can end on it.
All right. Got a couple of honourable mentions.
Okay, cool. All right. And basically... It was my first proper full snowboarding holiday. It's such a simple one. And we'd been snowboarding and we'd done a bit of off-piste and that. We'd all split up and we'd done this bit through the trees and it was really challenging, but it was amazing. And the snow, it had dumped and it basically meant on the off-piste, the snow, as you're going through the snow, is up to your knees. But it's like fine grain mist. Like as you go through it, I can't explain the feeling of it. It's like it just goes... It's a very strange sensation. And it was really, like, calm and peaceful. And I came out of this tree line, and I wasn't with anyone. And I went straight over a cliff. No. and I just stopped, and I just thought, I was gathering my breath. And as I looked up, I was in this valley. It was a massive valley, and it dipped down, and then there was another mountain facing opposite me.
Right.
And there was no one about. And just within this mountain that was facing me, there was a glacier that had just frozen. And when I looked up, and I didn't really realise, and I was out there for the snowboarding, I didn't really understand like how impressive the sights are. Yeah. And it's like, whenever you take pictures of these things when you go abroad, and you look at them on the camera, they never...
The perspective doesn't do it
justice. No perspective, and you look at it, and you're like, okay, that's cool, but it just doesn't do how overwhelming this view was of this glacier. And how it's turquoise, the ice was it was turquoise. It was just a mystical thing to look at, do you know what I mean? And so... epically serene.
Yeah.
And that's a massive reason why I do it every year. It's not just because I'm a total rad dude, you know. It's because of that. It's because the sights out there, it recharges your soul. It makes you feel better, natural. And so that is my number one, mate. That view, that first time, and I wasn't prepared for it.
That's decent.
It was a beautiful thing.
I mean, if you like hearing us talking about wonderful places to go, on this week's Patreon, we will be doing top 5 UK holiday destinations. Mm.
Yeah, for sure, man.
So I'm sure there'll be some similar chat style there.
Yeah, bitch.
Before you do your setup, a couple of quick honourable mentions. When the podcast first come out, and I see us in the top 5 on the iTunes chart, something that blew my mind.
Yeah, that was so cool, man. Very nice.
A helicopter over the Grand Canyon, seeing that.
Why is that?
Because it was when it was Hoover Dam that blew my mind, because in the earphones they played the Superman music when we went over
shit,
that.
Wicked.
So that was pretty mad. They played the Top Gun music when we took off.
Take my breath away. Was it that one?
Yeah,
getting hold of Carol in the back of his helicopter.
So that's the only other two, really. Like, seeing the Grand Canyon over that was pretty fucking crazy.
If you want to hear my sad one to end?
Yeah, of course, always.
Basically, it's the state of my fucking cat, Smudge, before we put her down. She was this fucking... I just didn't know how long to... When cats get old, it's like...
When did this happen?
This is about 5 or 6 years ago. And you just don't know how long to leave it. When cats get that old, and she'd become a bag of bones, and she would the cats dehydrate, so her skull looked a bit more sullen, her eyes were more inset. And I remember one day, bless her, she was like, it was really sad. Like, she was just wobbling on the in the middle of the lounge, and she was just swaying like this. And like, we'd been thinking for months, like, you know, is it cruel? At what point do you sort of like say, look,
hit it with a shovel?
Hit it with a shovel. Well, this is where this goes, right? So me and Dad say, look, Mum, we're going to do it. We're going to take Smudge to the vets and that. And we get Smudge to the vets. And it was really sad. I was getting upset. And she's there and she's swaying and that. And the vet, he was a lovely bloke, really nice. And he's like...
Yeah, that smells fox shit.
Yeah. This is pre-fox shit. It's pre-dog attack. And he was a really nice guy. And he was like, yeah, no. And he's checking all that really carefully. He's stroking and being really nice. He's like, yeah, no, it's time. And I went, I was really upset. And I just went, I'll go get the hammer. And then I just walked out. I come in and I was in fucking hysterics. I couldn't, you know, when you're proud of yourself, like, and I was fucking pissing my. And like, this vet was fucking so angry at me. And I was crying, I was in tears when we started putting her down, yeah. Like, but I couldn't resist, yeah. Because it was so the wrong thing to say. Because this vet was so nice, he's just stroking, like, Smudge. He's like, no, it's about right. And I just went, I'll get the hammer. Just like walking out of the room.
The reason behind that is. Fundamentally, at your very, very core, you're a total cunt. There you have it. Top five things you can never unsee. It's not even five, it's 10, because obviously I get my five and Knobhead gets his five. Thanks ever so much for listening, and as much as we mock you for listening to this drivel, Chris and I can't thank you enough for supporting this podcast, because... nearly 2 years, and we've had such a laugh doing it, and as much as we may drive each other up the wall, the minute we both sit down in the whiffing and start chatting, we have so much fun, and I hope that yous get a little bit of that fun that we get talking bollocks to each other. So on behalf of Glasson and me, obviously he can't say that. He only gets one 5-minute phone call a day, and he has to phone. I can't even tell you who he's going to phone. I better not tell you, because that's probably going to get him another couple of years on his sentence. So on behalf of Chris and I, thank you so much for listening. We really do bloody appreciate it, you dangerous loners, and we love you dearly. So yeah, we'll see you next week. Laters. Sorry, I've butted in yet again. I just want to quickly tell you about this magazine. It's called Pod Bible. Now, Pod Bible is the new essential guide to podcasts. It's put together alongside Spotify and Acast, and it's a one-stop shop to tell you all about the podcasts you maybe know about, but definitely about a load of the podcasts that you probably don't know about that we think you should know about. I mean, in the first edition, there's interviews with Adam Buxton, interviews with Craig Parkinson, there's features on Jade Adams, and there's just an abundance of information about so many exciting podcasts that are out there. Also, Spotify have given us these amazing little codes. So if you do get a print copy, you can just turn on your Spotify on your phone, scan the little code, and it just automatically opens up the podcast on your listening device. How good's that? If you haven't managed to get a print copy, then just go over to www.podbiblemag.com and read it online, because the digital version is all over there and it's all free. So every other month there'll be a new edition out. So go and have a look and support us on the social medias as well. PodBibleMag.com. It's a drunken soiree in the whiffing. Chris and Stu present Hardcore Listing, the podcast.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.